Hello and welcome. My name is Mason and this is Mace on Movies, episode 17 of my journey through Ghibli. And it has been a while since I've had a new installment of my journey through Ghibli. Here in Japan, we have a bit of a summer break in the month of August. And as a school teacher, I have that same break from school. And so I kind of took that opportunity to take a rest and take a mini little hiatus or vacation from podcasting just to enjoy this summer break with my wife as we are preparing for the arrival of our first baby in a few months, coming in January. So this will be was our last summer just together. So decided to take that opportunity just to relax and enjoy our time together. So that's why there hasn't been a new installment in a while, but I am going to finish out the last five or six films in this journey through Ghibli. And today's episode for episode 17 is going to be the movie Arrietty, or The Secret World of Arrietty. And in Japanese, it is Karigurashi no Arrietty, which is Arrietty the Borrower, because this is based on the book series called The Borrowers, which was written by Mary Norton, who's an English author. So it's interesting to have kind of an adaptation of an English book series here in the Studio Ghibli collection. I thought that was really interesting. And this is a film that I actually almost missed as I was going through my Studio Ghibli films, because I think it was actually added to the collection after I began mapping my way through it. But after I watched Ponyo, I actually realized that this was the next one in the series. And I had not added it to my queue, my list, but I was able to find it on HBO Max, which is where I've been watching these things, and was able to watch this one. And it is kind of a unique installment in Studio Ghibli. It does kind of fit along with some of their more kind of fairy tale or fantastical films. It does fit alongside something like My Neighbor Totoro or Ponyo, kind of those style of films. So I think that it is not a surprising addition when you think about kind of the subject matter. But it was a little bit, it was different for a few reasons, actually. And as I was doing my research after watching it, I realized that this is a first-time director for Studio Ghibli. His name is Hiromasa Yonebayashi, who he was actually an animator on Tales of Earthsea, which was not one of the better films in the Studio Ghibli collection, but he kind of graduated from animator to director for this film. And this was also the first film in the Studio Ghibli history to have music that was scored by a non-Japanese individual. And it is actually one of the things that stood out to me as I was watching this film was the music, because it is so instantly noticeably different from the typical Studio Ghibli music that we experience, kind of that grand, sweeping, fantastical, orchestral music that we're used to, that is so distinctive of Studio Ghibli films, has been replaced by music that instead feels like it would be more at home in kind of a Hobbit-esque film, something that is a bit more, sounds a bit more folksy and acoustic, definitely had kind of a Celtic vibe to it, which makes sense because Celtic music was an influence. Irish kind of folk music was an influence. And it was actually a French recording artist who did the music for this film. Her name is Cécile Corbel. And like I said, the first non-Japanese composer to work with Studio Ghibli. So I thought that was really cool. And like I said, it is one of the things that stood out. And a thing that received a lot of praise for this film was the music. And I think that it really kind of lends itself to this this style of film because it is very whimsical. And this does feel at times like a very whimsical kind of film. So yeah, I had to point out the music because that was definitely a highlight for me. And the animation as well, there are some really cool, like I love movies like this where this film actually, it follows kind of this world of these tiny people that are called borrowers that live kind of hiding away in human houses. They create their own miniaturized home And they are kind of trying to escape the notice of humans. They think that if humans discover them, humans will maybe destroy their homes or chase them away. And so they always try to live in secret. That's why it's called, obviously, the secret world of Arrietty. And it's following this family of borrowers in this home as they are trying to avoid discovery and protect their living place. So it does. It's a very whimsical, very cute film. And I love films like this. It kind of reminds me of something like, Ant-Man or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Movies like that where we go into this miniaturized world and it really creates this opportunity, this creative opportunity to see, like, what would our world look like from like an ant's point of view? And what would little people like, you know, how would they make use of everyday items? And so I love how, like, something at, like, you know, on their mission, they're looking for a tissue and a sugar cube, which are like these individual things. But if they get one tissue, that's like tissue paper for them for who knows how long. And one sugar cube, when broken down, would be like for us to be like buying a whole bag of sugar or a whole box of tissues. You know, it's really kind of these creative ways that they use things. Or like you have like this very small clothespin that Arrietty's using as a hairpin. And so I love kind of, you know, seeing the world from that small perspective, or how animals can seem like giants, and especially humans seem huge from this smaller point of view. So I thought that the animation of this, especially when Arrietty goes on her first borrowing mission with her father, it's her first time, you know, you kind of wait till a certain age to go out and attempt to grab things while the humans are asleep. And so I love the perspective shift as they climb up and get onto this counter in the kitchen, and the camera angle kind of sweeps up around them, and you see kind of the world rise up around them, and you see kind of the epic scale of what to us is like an everyday room. You know, when we walk through a kitchen, we're not blown away by the epic scale of our refrigerator or our stove. But when you get these tiny people, you know, it looks like they're standing in the midst of like the Grand Canyon or some huge mountain range. You know, so the way that they play with perspective in this film, I thought was also really interesting. They did a great job from an animated perspective. And I think that you can actually do that in animation. It's probably a little bit easier than, you know, something like back when they did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, or even when they did Ant-Man, you have to like, you know, go through much more complex filming methods, I think, when you're in live action. But in animation, I think they did it so beautifully. And for the downsides of this film, you know, as I was watching it, I think that although the music is beautiful, it kind of stays in the same tempo or the same place throughout a lot of the film. And so I found myself actually at times kind of struggling to stay awake throughout the film because it's such a soothing kind of style of music that you can kind of mentally zone out a little bit, I think, when you're watching this, or it can just kind of soothe you. If you watch it too late, it could soothe you to sleep. And I felt like there were times where this music was a little bit too one note in terms, I think the music kind of, although it was beautiful, created like a lack of momentum, I think, throughout the film. It feels kind of like a very sleepy, almost dreamlike kind of film. Which is cool. It's definitely a vibe that they're going for. But I found that at times I just had a hard time engaging with the film. And I think that this film, it kind of, in my opinion, missed out on being a really fun kind of sweeping adventure. I think that they really missed the opportunity to play up the suspense or play up the thrills of this film. I think that, you know, I think this movie was not as exciting as it could be. And I think the music was a part of that because the music stays very dreamlike, you know, very folksy and doesn't really ramp up for kind of the more epic scenes. So I just thought that, you know, the music was beautiful, but it didn't always become a strength of the film. So, I think that, you know, for me, this movie overall was less exciting and less, I didn't enjoy it as much. I actually found myself to be a little bit sleepy, a little bit bored, kind of zoning out through a lot of the film, which is unfortunate because I think they had such great material to come from and such great ideas. And I think that if there were more movies kind of set in this world, I would love to see this world expanded. I'd love to see more of that adventure, more of that danger, more of that risk, because I just think that maybe the stakes weren't high enough for me, or there just wasn't enough engagement in the film. I just felt a little bit detached, and so I didn't feel as invested as I could have been with this film. So I don't know, you know, I think that it would be totally different, I think, for someone that's like 6, 7, 8 years old. I think that they might be grabbed more by, you know, the fantasy of this film. I think they might feel a bit more swept up in it than I was as a grumpy old man kind of watching it. No, I'm not. I'm actually a pretty optimistic, generally positive person when I'm trying to watch films. I'm not actually that hard to please, believe it or not. But I just felt like I didn't get swept up in it the way I wanted to. I felt a little bit removed, a little bit detached. But I think that from a younger audience, I think younger kids could really get swept up into the fantasy of it. And I think that it could be exciting for Japanese audiences to have a film with music that's so different than what they would usually experience in a Studio Ghibli film. So I think it does have some strengths. For me, it had some weaknesses as well. It was kind of one speed, one tone kind of all the way through. And so I didn't really feel myself riding through the adventure, through the ups and downs, the way I wanted to. So I thought they could have had a little bit more fun with it. I think sometimes it took itself a little bit too seriously, a little bit too melodramatic, for my own taste. The other thing, you know, kind of, I guess the villain of this film would be like the boy's grandmother. And I just didn't understand. Like, I get it. Like, if you're kind of an older person, you hate that things go missing. It's super inconvenient. So if you've got these borrowers constantly taking things and things going missing, I guess that would be frustrating. But the violence or the level of intensity with which this old lady kind of comes at the borrowers, I just thought it was like, I don't really fully understand. Like, I think it would have been more interesting for them to deal with the dangers of like the animals around them. I think that would have been a better perspective. You know, you get films like, I don't know, Feifel Goes West and things like that, where it's like, you know, the threat, there are humans, but the threat is really the larger animals, right? And so if you're a tiny human, I think dealing with the threat, and they have some of it with like the crow, but I think they could have played up more of the danger of like rats and things like that. I thought that it could have been a more fun adventure in that way. And I thought having a human villain, I thought the human villain was just a little bit annoying, and I wasn't really sold on the conflict of the film, personally. But I think there are some great elements to it. I think that, you know, having the boy, you know, who's at that home, the boy named Sho, who's trying to kind of convince the borrowers that he's friendly, that he means them no harm, that he wants to help them. I thought that there was a very sweet relationship between Sho and Arrietty. So I thought that was nice. It was a very beautiful friendship, or kind of developing relationship there. I thought that was very sweet, but I just think that for an antagonist, you know, the boy, maybe if he was trying to protect them from different animals or different pests or something like that, I thought that would have played better than just like this old lady trying to ruin everything. So I don't know, just a personal thing. I didn't like the conflict in this film. And like I said, even in the conflict, the music didn't ramp up with the conflict, so it felt a little bit less engaging overall. So those are some of the downsides to me. I think overall it was fine. It doesn't rank super high for me in the Studio Ghibli films. It ranks, you know, somewhere maybe below My Neighbor Totoro, like in the bottom. It's honestly, out of the 17 that I've watched so far, it's probably in the bottom 5 or 6. Like it's just not, it didn't engage me overall. But I think it is worth checking out. Just for the music and this different style of film, I think that, yeah, you should check it out, you know, like I said, just for the music, just to hear kind of this beautiful Celtic folksy kind of score. If you're into different music used throughout film, I think that you would enjoy this as a unique entry in the Studio Ghibli collection. So before I finish up my thoughts on this film, I do want to mention the voice cast. Voicing Arrietty in the Japanese original is Mirai Shida. And this film is different. It actually has a UK dubbing through Studio Canal, and it has an English dubbing through Disney. So in the UK dubbing, we've actually got Saoirse Ronan, who's a very popular actress these days, doing the voice of Arrietty. And then in the English, we've got Bridget Brigitte Mendler. And voicing Sho, the boy, we've got Ryunosuke Kamiki. And then in English is actually Tom Holland doing the voice for the British version. So having Tom Holland and Saoirse Ronan, this is all the way back in 2011. I think that would be interesting to listen to that dub if you can find it. And then in English, David Henry, and they actually changed the name to Sean for the English version, which is weird. Like, just, I don't know, that's a little bit strange. And then for Homily, the Japanese voice is Shinobu Otake. And then the English for the UK is Olivia Colman, and then Amy Poehler in the US. Got Sadako Maki, voiced by Keiko Takeshita, and in the UK, Phyllida Law, and then in the US, Gracie Moore. Spiller is voiced by Tatsuya Fujiwara, and the UK, Luke Allen Gale, in the US, Moises Arias, and Japanese voice actor for Pod is Tomokazu Miura. Mark Strong does the voice for the UK version, and Will Arnett does the US version. And the last one, Haru, is voiced by Kieran Kiki. And then in the UK, Geraldine McEwen. And in English for the US is Carol Burnett. So I wanted to point out the voice cast for that. And again, the composer for this film, Cécile Corbel, a French composer and recording artist. So she is probably, honestly, the highlight of the film for me. So that's going to wrap up my thoughts on The Secret World of Arrietty. And I would definitely, like I said, encourage you to check it out for the music. And you might like it, you know, if you like kind of those films like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or Ant-Man and the Wasp, where you're dealing with kind of things in miniature, could be a fun adventure for you to check out. So it's available on HBO Max. And you can probably rent it somewhere if you are living abroad. So that, again, is my thoughts on it. If you have seen it, if you'd like to share your thoughts, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at @MaceOnMovies. And you can let me know where it ranks for you in the Studio Ghibli collection. And if you've enjoyed this episode, you can check out other reviews that I do, other series that I do, like I did the DC Animated Movie Universe and things like that. So you can check out the rest of the podcast feed. You can hit subscribe, you can share it with friends and family, leave a rating and a comment. All of that helps boost this podcast so more people can find it. That would be amazing as well. But thank you so much for listening to this episode of my journey through Ghibli and the secret world of Arrietty. I hope that you are doing well wherever you are, taking care of yourself physically and mentally, and I hope that we'll remember to be kind to one another. Thanks, everybody.